Well, good morning, everyone. How are you all doing today? Doing good? Well, that's good. I've just lost my page. Can I grab this? How many of you are too hot? I was going to say too bad, because I'm not. Hey, it's a really tough space today because obviously you've got some of us with very little on, others that are hot for other reasons and all that. It's damp because of the water in the pool, all of that stuff, but it's only for a little while, isn't it? So I want to say, first of all, welcome and thank you for coming along. It's such a privilege to be able to partner with, to see these people who are getting baptised take this step of faith, and it's just a wonderful... Yeah, I think it's a wonderful privilege to be part of that on their journey of walking with Jesus. I really want to welcome, especially the visitors that have come today, from family and friends of the people being baptized. I want to just welcome you and thank you for being here and thank you for supporting them as they take this step. Really quickly, I want to just speak into why we're doing this, baptism. In Matthew chapter 3, starting from verse 13, Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. And then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. And at that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, this is my Son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Like John, I think a lot of us go, why did Jesus need to be baptized? Or why did Jesus get baptized? Here John says, why do you come to me? Because John was about calling sinners to repent and to be baptized and to live a different life. John's baptism was a response to the call of God to reorient our values, our habits, our loves, our thinking, and our behavior according to a completely different understanding of what life is all about. We're called to an understanding that is rooted in the revelation of God's nature and his reign. And of course, Jesus was perfect. He didn't need that call. But Jesus says it is proper for us to do this. And when he says that, he's saying to both John at that time and to us today, this is what obedience to the Father looks like. See, first of all, Jesus was identifying as a human so that the world will see what it means to be human. What it means to be human, not God. See, we become our own gods, we do our own thing, but Jesus is showing that being human means submitting to the one who created us and doing what he calls us to do. He is showing his disciples, he is showing the Pharisees, he is showing everyone, including us today, what obedience looks like. He didn't sit there and go, I don't need to be baptized, Father. I'm a good guy, I don't need this. He just went, Father said it, I'm doing it. That's what obedience looks like. When we trust and believe in God. And he said to his disciples, follow me. See, the thing is, this practice of baptism connects us with the story of God and what he is doing in the world and has been doing in the world right from day one. Through all of history, Baptism links us with what God has done through all of history, saving those who choose to obey as he deals with the reality of humanity's wickedness. The flood of Noah was God dealing with the evil consequences when all of humanity had turned from God and was just so caught up in wickedness and sin. It was unbelievably awful. Humanity had turned from God's ways of living, God's way of loving each other. And he used the floodwaters to wash away the sin and corruption that was present at the time. But he made a way for all who would hear his call to change. We know it as Noah's Ark. And I don't know if you know the story of Noah's Ark very well, but the Bible tells us that only Noah and his family heeded the call to repent and to change. Even though for something like 100 years, Noah preached to those who would listen that they needed to repent, and no one did. And while we might have questions about what happened was right and just. Nobody responded to the message of salvation that was present and available. So that's going a long way back, and we jump forward to when God rescued Israel from Egypt, and he brought them out of captivity, and we know about the crossing of the Red Sea. As they crossed that sea, it was the moment that God cut Israel off from the slavery, from the captivity, from all that had been in their past. And he made a way, first of all, telling them, sacrifice a lamb, paint the blood over the doorstep, so when the angel of death comes through, you guys will be free from that judgment. And then they had to pack up their families and leave behind everything they had ever known. 400 years they were there. That's a long time. They had to leave it all behind, leaving that place of security. Even though it was captivity, it was security. And then to live a life of faith with God in control. And when they crossed the water, they were saved. And the water drowned the Egyptian army and dealt with the oppressors that were coming after them. God cleansed them, if you like, from the oppression that they had lived under for so many years, and he set them free to live a new life. Can you see the connection? And then a bit later on, another generation later, crossing into the Jordan River. The Jordan River was a moment where they were to step into the fullness of the promise that God had for them. The land of plenty was God's desire for them. He wanted them not to wander the desert, but to live in this land of abundance, to be his people, to show the nations of the world around him what it was like to live under God's reign. But the first generation couldn't do it. They went and God said, go, and they went, nah. And so God said, okay, you're going to stay in the desert. But the next generation did cross, and they stepped over. Even though the crossing was dangerous, the river was in flood, and the life on the other side was an unknown reality. They kind of had a bit of a hint, but they'd not experienced it. The people went by faith, and they were set free from the life in the desert and in their past, and they stepped into this amazing promised land and discovered a life that they couldn't have dreamed about. But unfortunately, they stopped following God in the midst of their freedom, and corruption, the corruption that seems to plague all of humanity, the sin, our tendency to just ignore God and do what we want to do, became their normal practice. And God had to then deal with that. And so, ultimately, God sent his son Jesus to come and to deal with our sin once and for all. By living the perfect life of obedience to the Father, dying for people like you and me, sinners that didn't deserve it, and then being raised to life for our justification, Jesus conquered the curse that has held humanity captive since the beginning. Which is exciting when you understand it. When we get baptized, we are joining the call of salvation that God offers us. The solution to our problem, if you like. The way to life. Which sounds weird, we got to die to have life. But when you understand what God's all about, you get it. Letting God be God, following his way and trusting that he has righteous goodness in store for us is what he's calling us to. You know, Jesus, when he got baptized, was also publicly dedicating himself to follow the Father's will on earth. He was saying to everyone, I don't really care what you guys say. God is God. My Father is the one who calls the shots. He didn't have to repent from a life of not doing that, but he was publicly stating, because he was about to start as what we call his public ministry. He didn't have to turn from wicked ways. We do. And so we have to repent from unbelief, from doing things our way. And so part of baptism is saying, this is what we're doing. But then we also dedicate ourselves to the service of God with our lives. And at this moment, as Jesus goes into the waters of baptism and comes out, it says the Father speaks from heaven and says, this is my Son whom I am loved, with whom I am well pleased. With him I am well pleased. And the Spirit of God descended like a dove and rested on him. Interestingly enough, the Spirit then led him into a private place, the desert, and tempted him. He was tempted by the devil, And if you read that passage, the devil came and said, why don't you do something different? And then Jesus simply said, no, God told me to do this. He was showing the obedience, what it meant to be obedient in a private place. Faithfulness when no one is looking. You know, it's easy to pretend to be good while people are watching. But the real challenge is when nobody's watching. When you're in that place where nobody sees you, that's when you know whether you're really changed, whether you're really born again. When you don't, yeah, nobody will know what the consequences of those things are. That will be where you see. And we see for Jesus, he was as faithful to God as he ever was. And when he left the desert in the power of the Spirit, we see him doing the Father's will all around the world that he inhabited. And he proved faithful in the public arena. And he taught his followers to do the same. And in Acts chapter 3, at the day of Pentecost, which we celebrated last week, wasn't it? We talked about that. We see 3,000 people respond to Peter's message, which simply says, repent, change, and believe in Jesus, who Jesus was. And 3,000 people agreed to that. And they said, what must we do to be saved? He says, first of all, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And that's what happened. And we're doing that today because that's what has been happening for 2,000 years. Baptism says, I'm going to serve God and his will for my life. And many of us in this room have already been through that process. And the six that are doing that today, you're starting that. And in Acts 16, we see two baptized believers, Paul and Silas. You know, they were baptized. They were following God's will for their lives. And they ended up being beaten and jailed because they were following God's will for their life. Now, a lot of us think that if God's good, then his will be for good. And that's true. But it doesn't mean it's good on every step. And what we experience isn't always good. These guys got beaten and jailed because they set a possessed girl free and upset the people who were making money off her. So they actually did something that was good. It's just that people that were not good didn't like it. And so they were suffering from these guys. But instead of complaining and feeling sorry for themselves, these two disciples worshipped the Lord. They wanted to fix their eyes on him and be obedient. They wanted to be used by God, even in this difficult situation. They didn't get lost going, oh, Paul, pity me. You know, why are you doing this, God? They stayed and worshipped. And before you know it, an earthquake came and shook the prison in such a way that the doors opened and all their chains fell off. Not just theirs, but also everyone in the prison. Really, really fascinating. But instead of running away going, God saved us, woohoo, they stayed. The jailer came out, expecting that his prisoners were gone. He was going to have to kill himself to save his boss doing it for him. And Paul and Silas called out and said, don't harm yourself, we're all here. You haven't lost anyone. And the jailer was so amazed that he asked Paul, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the next few hours, it says they taught him about Jesus. And then his whole household got baptized. Or they believed and they got baptized. And it says that the jailer was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God. He came to faith and then he dedicated his life to God's will by being baptized. And we don't know what happened after that. But I guarantee you he was on a journey of faithfulness and learning to what it means to be God's people. See, in baptism, we're renouncing our service to sin. We're saying we're no longer living in that direction. We're dying to it, and we give our loyalty and our service to Jesus Christ. We're saying that you are my Lord, and I tend to live for you and your will. When we get baptized, we're not simply copying Jesus. We are dying to ourselves, to that old way of life, to that past that for many of us was not good. And we're saying we want to live in Christ. And as we go down, we are cleansed of our past. We are raised to new life in Christ. We are being baptized into him, into his resurrection, into his life, into his new life. And he fills us with his Holy Spirit who empowers us, because we don't have to do it on our own. He fills us with his Spirit. And guess what? He also puts a family around us, which I think is kind of cool. And he helps us to live for him because we are not on our own. This act is proven in your private life as well as in your public life. We should see a change as we fix our hearts on Jesus and devote ourselves to doing life in obedience to his commands. This act is not an act to impress other people. I hope you're not doing it for that, or I know you're not. Baptism is not a prize. It's a dramatic declaration of faith in Jesus Christ. It is an act of worship and submission to Him as Lord. It is a statement to say that I am faithfully obeying the call of Jesus to die to myself and to live in Him, to live for Him the rest of my days. And so that's why I'm excited, and that's why I think we're excited for you guys that are doing this today. It's wonderful, right? Even when you get beaten up and put in prison and... No. Sometimes it has its challenges, but we live with the hope of Christ, the hope of all that He has for us. And just as I finish, can I also say this, that this is a reminder for all of us who are baptized. Are we walking in the fullness of what we committed to? Are we doing what we said we would do? And I think it's a wonderful opportunity. I think this is why we do it publicly. I think it's a couple of years saying they didn't really want to do it publicly because it's a bit scary, isn't it? Sitting, you know, in your less than glamorous clothes, getting wet and messing up your hair and all that sort of stuff. You're not doing it to be put on the front of a magazine. But I think for us as we watch, we remember when it was our turn and it was the commitment that we made. So let today be an encouragement and challenge for us as we walk with Jesus along with these people who are being baptized together. May it challenge us to think about how we walk personally, privately, but also publicly and corporately. It's an amazing challenge, isn't it? Cool. So how about we get on with it? Is that all good? So what's going to happen? Let me just outline this really, really quickly. I'm going to go into the pool, and then each person is going to, Jude's going to ask them, why are you getting baptized? Because it's really cool to hear something of why they're at this point, okay? And so we're just giving them a few moments to share that. Then each person has chosen someone to be with them in the pool to be baptized. They will come down, we will baptize them, and then when they come up, obviously, we want to celebrate, cheer. We're just going to create a little bit of time, just a moment for some words of encouragement. We don't want to spend too long, but we want to be just really praying for these people, encouraging them in the step that they've made, because we know there is an enemy. We know that there is one who will come against this decision you've made. But you have the power of God in you, and so you don't actually have to worry about that. Is that cool? You might have to experience it, you just don't have to worry about it, which is cool. And then people get out dried. They might go get changed. The next person will come in, okay? And then after all that, we're going to have lunch to celebrate. So that's really cool, okay? Hey, so listen, if I call it off and you haven't had a chance to speak to a person, I really encourage you to write it down and give it to that person, because chances are they won't remember what you say anyway, because it's all, you know, yeah. So if you have got a word, maybe write it down and give it to those people maybe after the service and that, okay? Sounds good? Let's do it.
Cool. It is exciting. I'm going to stand here. I had a verse from the Bible, and this is from the Message Bible. And the Message Bible is a bit more, oh, I don't know, it's easier to understand. So this is from Galatians 2:20. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman or woman so that I could be God's woman or man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with Him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God because Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me, and I'm not going to go back on that. Is it not clear to you that to go back to that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that. to repudiate God's grace if a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. So I thought that was appropriate for today. So I'm going to ask Meg to come up and tell us why you're getting baptized today. Do you want me to hold the mic for
Is
you?
Is that okay?
Yeah, I can see you're nervous.
Yes, I am. But
okay.
Also very excited.
It's okay to be nervous.
Well, before God chose me, I was around all the wrong people, doing all the wrong things. I was lost and hurt, and I was begging for change. I was begging for no more longing. I wanted love, hope, happiness, and truth. I was at my ends, crying on my knees in my room, begging for help. And I got up in that moment to clean my room, and that is when God first spoke to me. I picked up the NIV Bible that Mark had given to me at youth. It opened up at Isaiah chapter 41, verse 8 through 13, and it read, "But you, Israel, my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, you descendants of Abraham, my friend, I took you from the ends of earth, from its farthest corners, I called you. I said, you are my servant. I have chosen you and have not rejected you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. All who rage against you will surely be ashamed and disgraced. Those who oppose you will be as nothing and perish. Though you search for your enemies, you will not find them. Those who wage war against you will be as nothing at all. For I am your Lord, your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear. I will help you." Something awoke from inside me, and I knew from that moment on I was not alone. Jesus Christ broke the chains that kept me bound. And as Jesus laid down his life for us, I would love to take the step into honoring my life to him. God has a plan for me, and this is one more step closer to heaven. Thank you all for who have come to support me in laying my life down to Father God and his Son, our Savior, who has given me a new life and power with his Spirit.
Hey, also, if there's any kids, you know, come down and sit down here, and if you want to have a better look, come on down here and gather around, okay? So, yeah, even if you're a big kid, why not? Father, we thank you for Meg. We thank you for what you're doing in her life. We thank you that that she is responding to what you are doing for her. And Father, we just ask that you can, well, we know you would continue to walk with her. May you keep her safe, keep her well, but draw her into the fullness of all that you have for her. Give her a boldness and a strength to be yours in this world that she lives. And may she proclaim your name for the rest of her days. You know, Meg, I was just going to say, we were talking during the week, and I just had this word for you that when Israel crossed into the promised land, Jesus said, I should have written this down. Not Jesus, well, no, God, Jesus, he's the same, yeah. Basically, the past is gone. What's the word, Phil? It's like a renouncing. Anyway, that's all right. I should have written it down. Told all these people to write their things down. The past is gone. God has dealt with it. The judgment, the condemnation, all of that that was in the past is now gone. It's been washed clean. Jesus has set you free, and you are now free to walk into the fullness of the future that he has for you. Yeah, I tell you what, I'll write down what I was going to do, and I'll give it to you later. So if anyone else would like to have a word, please don't spend ages waiting. Just come up quickly, okay? And
awesome. Hey, Meg. Hey, look, we live in a world where everything is at our fingertips. People chop and change their opinions, who they stand with and for. Relationships are fleeting. God is looking for followers who are not fleeting, who will stand for him, be uncompromising in their faith. In this world of uncertainty, God is looking for someone that will raise his standard in every situation. Every place they go, every place they've been, all relationships, as you stand for him, he will turn up and solve problems and mend relationships, bring healing, restore damaged lives. God wants to do all this around you, Meg, but he wants you to understand this: it's not you. You can't do anything. You can't change anything. But as you walk with God, he can and will do everything. As you are uncompromising, it'll be God through you.
Meg, I'm going to pray a prayer you might know. I'm asking God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives, so that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may last the distance, so that you may last the distance, have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his people in the kingdom of light. That's my prayer for you. Amen.
From the moment that I knew that you walked into our lives, that God had called you. So I'm going to give you the same thing I got on my baptism day. Lean not on your own understanding, because it's his guidance that will save you, that will change your life, and he's called you from the gate, honey. So I'm so glad and so proud of you for taking this step, and you are a part of this church's family, and I'm grateful, and we're all grateful. So good job.
Hi, Meg. This is the day that the Lord has made, and you have chosen to stay to be baptized. The new has gone, and the old has come. I praise the Lord, Meg.
Awesome. Hey, Meg. There's a story in the Old Testament about a person called Joseph, and his father gave him his favorite cloak. We often go with a technicolored cloak, but his father just gave him his favorite cloak. And Joseph went through a whole lot of torment in his life, but he had his father's cloak with him. I want you to know that the Lord has given you a corduroy. A corduroy. A corduroy is a sacred woven blanket that you often see draped over the shoulders of rangatira and Māori leaders. It's made out of precious bird's feathers. So it symbolises two things. One, the Lord has given you his cloak to protect you. But two, the cloak is of feathers. And throughout the Bible, the Lord talks about how he will protect you under the wings of eagles. So take that corduroy and use it and wear it through your life. Wear it every day. Know that things aren't going to be easy, but you've got the corduroy of the Father.
Meg, this is for you. This song, it's been in my heart when I was 18.
when God called me to follow Jesus in the water baptism. And I'll pass this to you, and you have to take it the whole life. And this is the song, I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Bless you.
That's great. Hey, look, thank you. And if you do, if something comes a bit later, don't be afraid to go up and see Meg later, or I encourage you, write it down and give it to her so she can go back to it and reread it. Wonderful.
Awesome. Now we've got Dana. Our little light, aren't you? It shines. Why are you getting baptized today, Dana?
Just
read what you've got.
I only really began to consider baptism a year ago, maybe a bit more than that. Over time, I have felt a continuous change internally, especially drawing near to my baptism. Even the following few years before I even knew I would be baptized, when I chose to pursue God not just because of my parents, but because of my choice. It's an interesting and strange feeling, like unearthing more and more of a fossil, something that has been there all this time but only just discovered bit by bit. It feels so real. And I know that God is molding me, and I guess that we are all clay in God's never-ending workshop. After a while, I realized there's no point in waiting for the perfect time to be baptized, because otherwise I would be waiting forever. And anyone can be baptized, no matter their background or whether or not they were the most devoted Christian, so long as it's a choice for change, a clean slate, and the process of developing a stronger connection with God. If I waited till I was a perfect Christian to be baptized, I would die waiting, because perfection is impossible. But it's still possible for someone to be a better version of themselves every day, even in small ways. From the biggest to the smallest steps, it's all progress worth being proud of. At first, I was hesitant to make my baptism public, but I was told it's not something to hide, but something to share, as Christianity is like family, accepting all without judgment. And in a family, it's something to be shared. And I found that sense of belonging here in the Baptist Church when I returned here, and maybe that was something that encouraged my baptism.
Awesome. That's awesome. Thank you, Dana.
Father, we thank you for Dana. We thank you for her journey. We thank you for her faithfulness to this point of just honouring you. I thank you for her testimony of how she is stepping out beyond her understanding or beyond what perfection and all that. We thank you for the step of faith. We thank you that you are with her and will continue to go with her as she continues toward perfection, as you transform her and continue to grow her into being your girl, your woman in this world that we live in Jesus' name. Dana, just hearing you there, I think that you've grabbed it. There is no perfect time. It's the next step in your journey with Jesus, and this isn't the end, and it's not the beginning. It's a part of the journey, but it's a new step and a new level of relationship. And I just encourage you to keep walking in that, and God will continue to grow and grow you and grow your faith and trust in Him.
Dana, I've said it many times, I'm going to say it now, I'm proud to be your dad. You have taught me so much. And there's a little scripture I just want to say, because it's just so you. Sometimes I see you like I used to call you when you were a little kiddie, Dancing Dana. So it's this, from Psalm 150. It's, praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his exceeding greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with timbrel and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything, especially in Dana, that breathes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord indeed. That is you, James. You are an amazing person, and you make other people dance. Seriously, just with your nature. You're a wonderful person. I love you very much.
Okay. Anyone else?
This reflects what's been said, Dana, but the word I have for you comes actually as a story. It's a story of an artist. His name was Van Gogh. Now, he was also a missionary, but I learned something a long time ago about Van Gogh, and his favourite colour was yellow. Yellow represented to him the saviour. It represented Jesus. Whenever you look at Van Gogh's work and you see yellow, you see him painting Jesus into the world. And you actually see him critiquing the church too, but you can talk to me about that later. But you are someone that's going to paint the world. You're going to paint God throughout the world. You're going to be like a Van Gogh. You're going to have your favourite colour. It might not be yellow, but you're going to paint the world. And where there are places and spaces that do not have any colour at all, you're going to bring colour to those spaces. You are God's artist, Dana. Yes.
I just got a scripture for you, Dana. It's seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all his righteousness shall be added unto you.
For God, Dana, demandeth his life to shine out of darkness into his glorious light, and you are willing to walk in that because you heard God speaking to you. So keep your ears tuned in and your heart open, and you will go a long way with your Savior. Bless you.
I really like what Fiona was saying about painting at the world, because my word goes along with that. But it's going to be your words that are going to make a difference. The spoken word has power. If it's negative, then its power releases negativity. If it's positive, then it can impact positively. God's word is not just positive, it's powerful. It cuts through the dross of the world, brings hope, brings encouragement, brings truth, divides spirit and flesh. It reveals the way forward, the path ahead, and you don't have to stand there and go, the Bible says, or God's word says. You can just repeat the scripture you know in any given circumstance, any day, any conversation with the people around you, and God will ensure that it accomplishes everything that he desires of it. It will not return to him void. He will see his will done. So continue to read, continue to study his word so he can bring it forth from you as he sees fit, when he wants to, when he's ready to paint this world.
Real family affair. Now her brother Connor is going to come up and tell us why he's getting baptised today.
When I first met the Lord, properly I mean, I remember crying out to him to get rid of my sin. I didn't use descriptive language to make him feel good, but I spoke to him raw and naturally. He got rid of my sin and rescued me from the last life that was dedicated to the world. Before all this, I was known by myself alone as a Christian. I didn't do anything to get closer to them. I never prayed, except for grace for dinner, but even then, I never even felt it in my heart. And I never read the Bible. In fact, I was too scared to read the Bible or even write anything down about it near anyone. I thought I'd get judged. But in later time, I realized the only people judging me then were God and myself, neither of which I was fully aware of. In my time of getting to know Jesus, I still slipped up heavily. It wasn't all smooth sailing. But after a while, I finally started to find the one thing that I'd been missing my entire life. Love. God gave me love and faith in him. And although I still to this day doubt and worry, I'm learning to trust in him and believe that his name alone shall stand in front of all else. Now that I've come to love God, I have come to love others. I've come to be filled with the mercy, love, and peace from and of the Holy Spirit. I've come to acknowledge my sin and transgression to the Lord and repent from my ways of old. He has given me wisdom to know that my shortcomings are leaving as surely as I'm with him. I'm still learning many things that were once secrets and unknown to me, and I'm starting to receive the wonders and honor of the power of discernment of the Holy Spirit, even despite my young age. I love him more than I can express, and I know that he loves me and will never leave me.
Father, we celebrate and we thank you for what you're doing in this young man's life. We thank you as he takes this next step of obedience and commitment to you, that it will be in a powerful time in his life that he will look back and know that you are doing something incredible in this moment. Father, we just thank you that you are with him. We thank you by your Holy Spirit as you fill him now, that you will never leave him, and that he can trust in that promise, and that he can walk with you even when he does get it wrong. That forgiveness is there, available. Your love overlooks all of that. And you welcome him back into the right way of walking with you in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Connor, I just as we've been journeying a little bit, and as I've watched you even just as you've been around the church a bit, you know, I think you've got an amazing intelligence and a desire to know the word, to know what it means to be a follower of Christ. But what you've just testified here to today is actually the key which makes, kind of unlocks that, which is love. You know, the Apostle Paul said in Corinthians, you know, if you don't have love, you really have nothing. It doesn't matter how intelligent you are, how much information you know. If you don't have love, it actually doesn't mean anything. So I just want to encourage you to keep walking, you know, eyes fixed on Jesus. Just be in love with Jesus. Love him with every part of your being while you step into greater knowledge, greater, you know, don't let that part of you die off. Because in reading his word, understanding comes great freedom as well, but when it's framed in love, it becomes powerful to influence and impact other people around you. Okay, awesome.
Connor, I said this today, and I'm saying it to you. You've taught me a lot, and one of the most incredible things is, and I'll just share it quickly, is that when you decided you were going to get into the Bible, and you said, "Dad, I'm going to read this. I want to read the whole thing." And I said, okay, well, I've got a good Bible study somewhere. It'll take you through the whole Bible in 3 years. It's fantastic. No, I'm starting at Genesis. And about 4 or 5 months later, he closed the book at Revelations. I do encourage you to get into the Word. This young lad has, what he was once afraid of to look at, he just consumed it. And I can encourage you all. And in that regard, you taught me a lot about the Proverbs, actually, and here, the Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, that men may know wisdom and instruction, understand words of insight, receive instruction in wise dealing, righteousness, justice, and equity, that prudence may be given to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the youth. The wise man also may hear an increase in learning, and the man of understanding acquire skill to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Instead, this is you. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. You've always honored me, and you always honor God, and I think you always will.
Hey, Doc. How's it going, Doc? It's a private thing between us two. You've read the Bible. I know that. Dad's just told us that. You know about Jacob. And Jacob wrestled with God. And God gave Jacob the name Israel. And the way that if you were to go to a Jewish life group, you will find that the way that they approach scriptures is different to us in the West. We look at the Bible for answers. Jewish people take pride in their whakapapa and understand that they're allowed to wrestle with God's word. I'm encouraging you today, Doc, wrestle with God's word. It's okay. Hold on to what Royce has said, that concept of love. You're going to have love deeply inside as you go down your intellectual life, Doc. But it's okay to wrestle with God. It's okay to find contradictions in the Bible and ask God, where does this come from? And it's okay at the end to say, hey, I just rest in you, God. Because God has got an enormous journey ahead of you, Doc. A massive journey. And he's going to be there all the way, but there are going to be times where you say, where is God? And at those times, you're going to look at the book of Ecclesiastes, and you're going to see a verse there that says, there are thousands and thousands of books in the world, but actually there's only one teacher. You're going to know that. And Matt, God is saying to you, thank you. Thank you for not letting go of me. It's been a hard 20 years. It's been a hard, hard 20 years. You've had so much that you felt you've wrestled with yourself, and you've held on to your faith. And your children today are testimony to your faith. It's not often that in a baptism that we would give a word to the parent as well, because this is about Conan. This is about Dana. But God is also saying to you, thank you, and thank you for now letting your children walk in their own ways with me.
This morning it was interesting because I don't know you very well. I've just seen you and I met your dad, and I think you guys are phenomenal. But he brought to me Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I see in you a strength that comes from him that I haven't seen in another person your age. So I want you to know that he's with you no matter what, and he will always be with you. So lean on him, and he will guide you through anything you go through. Okay.
Connor, what a great young man. For those that don't know, Connor and his dad turned up late on a Sunday for the evening prayer meeting. And we were on fire. There's no woman, unfortunately, ladies, but just us old men. And this young man came in, and the Spirit of God moved amongst us. Connor, you had words of authority, words of leadership, words that would take you from one young man into a man of God with much authority and much learning to lead people, to talk about God. But we say again to you, remember David, when he was out in the field and they were anointing, they were looking for the king, and they brought this little ruddy boy in. And you are a young boy, but it took him years of hardship, putting his life on the line to become the great king that King David was. Those words that we spoke over you on that Sunday just a couple of weeks ago are true and valued to your heart and for your dad to hear it as we spoke over you. Keep them strong within you. And let God guide your footsteps where you go from now. And your walk will have a gracious and spectacular walk with the Lord Jesus. Go forth in the name of Jesus.
Connor, from the time I met you, I just felt that God's Spirit was in you. And all last week, I've been reading through 1 and 2 Timothy, and every time I was reading through it, I kept seeing you, and your name kept coming before me. And I thought of when Paul said to Timothy, "Look, Timothy, let no man despise you because of your youth." And I think that's a word for you, because I see that God is working powerfully in you already. And I believe that you're going to be used by him in a great and mighty way. But Connor, I want to urge you, don't be like Solomon or so many who have put their trust in as if their talents and their God-given ability were from themselves. I want to say to you, the Lord says, keep humble before me and I will exalt you, saith the Lord. Seek my will always, and my righteousness, and my kingdom, and all other things, Connor, will be added to you, saith the Lord. And keep yourself close to me, and I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. The enemy may roar around seeking to take you out, but Connor, I want to say to you that you have the prayers of all your brothers and sisters and the leadership in this church behind you, because I believe we're going to see God work mightily in you. And so that's a prayer that you'll be blessed going in and going out, that you'll be blessed at whatever you do, wherever you go, that you will take the fragrance of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would go in the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That's from the Lord to you today. Rise forth, young man, and go and take up the mantle for the Lord's glory. In his name, amen.
Hey, Connor. Matthew, why did you name him Connor? Oh, my goodness. And after hearing what we've just heard... Awesome. You can take away my land, but you can't take away your freedom. Well, I was praying about you during the week, and the word love came through very strongly, and you spoke right into that yourself. But I kept hearing his name. And I'm like, yeah, Connor. But I didn't come up with Connor McLeod. Great movie. So I looked it up, and it's all throughout the Bible, God names people specifically. And so your dad didn't even know that he named you specifically. So the names all have purpose. And your name is of Irish descent, and it means lover of wolves. So wolves in the Bible are normally attacking God's people. They are normally attacking the flock. They are against God and what he's doing. Wolves learn from birth how they are to behave and how to be a wolf. So around you, as you study, as you continue in your studies, as you grow, you will find that there are people who are against God all around you. God wants to use you in those environments to show his love, to be a vessel of God's love. Because for some of those people, love isn't something they've experienced. You have. The question is, how deep do you want to go? BG saying, how deep is your love? Is your love? The deeper you go with God, the more impact his love is going to have around you as you just go about your daily things. So be strong, Connor, in the Lord and his might.
Later being a broadcast of an article talk of the city.
Asher means hope. Is that right, Matt? Asher means hope? Yeah. So there we go. That's okay. Right, we've got Natasha now, who's going to come up and tell us why she's getting baptised today. That's for you. Thanks. Thanks, Michelle.
Do you want me to hold the mic? Oh, yes, please. Oh, gosh. Yep. I had grown up as a very lonely child. My parents split apart when I was around three. The only way I could see my dad is through Bernardo's, and I am an only child. My mother ended up having a major stroke when I was around eight. I decided that I would look after her. In hindsight, the Lord helped me make that choice because I had no idea what I was in for. I did so from age 8 till 22 when she had passed. But the one thing that stuck out to me was when she told me out of nowhere to believe in God just before she passed. Now, the only reason why that was shocking is because no one in my family was religious. But that stuck with me, and I decided to pursue what she said. I went to two other churches before I came to this church again. I say again because this is where I met my husband. I believe in my heart of hearts this is where the Lord wanted me to be from the start. How has the Lord helped me? In many ways. He has helped me overcome lust, hatred, sadness, anger, and alcoholic tendencies. He has helped me overcome my fear of driving, and now I have my restricted. I have gotten a job that I have later found out that they now have just opened up the policy so that people without qualifications can now get in. I didn't have qualifications when I started above when I was looking after my mother for those 14 years. All I know is that God definitely pulled some strings to get me in my job. I can't believe how much he has done in my life in such a short amount of time. I know there is more to come, and this is me today showing you that I am committing to you, Lord.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We join with the angels in heaven celebrating that of all that's going on here. We thank you for Natasha and her journey, and Lord, how she's starting to see how you've been present and doing things before she even knew you were really a thing. And so I thank you for you calling her to this place. We thank you that she has stepped out and wanting to know you more, to be yours. And Father, I pray that as she's taken this step, as your spirit fills her anew, as you come upon her in a new way, that she would find a lightness in her steps, a passion in her days, a purpose in her direction, and that as she walks from this day forward, Father, she would be a shining light to her family, to her friends, and to all the people that she is close with. But Lord, may she above all just have such a deep love for you as she moves on from today. Amen. Natasha, you are just amazing. I love the journey we've been able to just talk. I don't know you heaps in that, but the time, and you're just so, you just say it like it is. You just say, you know, it's almost like, well, this is happening. I'm not really sure how or why, but God is real and he's doing some stuff. And I think, you know, just want to encourage you, keep walking with him. That passage, Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, lean not on your own ways. And all of your ways acknowledge him and he will lead you. He will guide your path. There's something I've relied on in my life. I just want to say, you don't worry about whether you understand it, whether you get it. Just keep trusting him in everything that you do. Yeah.
God authenticates you, honestly. There's a reality of God that you carry. that has weight, a truth of God's reality in life. Others who have experienced religion have not experienced that reality and don't have that relationship with God. The world is full of people that have experienced religion and not reality of God. Your experience and the reality of relationship with God can transform into a strong measure of faith. And I believe God's given you a big measure of faith. With faith as small as a mustard seed, you can tell the mountain to go and it will go. And that mountain for someone could be sickness. That mountain could be poverty, could be lack of direction. Your faith combined with prayer can make the seemingly impossible possible and the seemingly impassable passable. And when you don't know what to pray, pray in the spirit of all times. The more you pray for people and their mountains, the sooner you will see miracles and see mountains being moved. And to start you off on your journey of prayer, I've got a gift for you. You'll be able to anoint people as you pray for them and see mountains moved. See healing, see restoration, in Jesus' name.
Natasha, as your grand, I was so excited when you said to me last Sunday that you were going to be baptized. It just brought tears to my eyes. You're very precious, and God wants you to know that. From Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's blessings from me, my dear. Today is actually Trinity Day. For the ones that don't know, it's Trinity Day today, and that is of the union of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in one God.
I was going to say a Māori prayer. E te atua, e tēnei wā, kia tau tō rangi Mārie, ki runga I ngā iwi o te ao, amene. May the peace be upon you today, Tash. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Natasha, just, we haven't known each other for a long time, but I really feel that God's saying for you that life might for you be lived in the ordinary. Not many people are called to be greats, nation changers. But what we are called to do, and I believe this is for you, is to live your life in the ordinary means to get up each day and to seek who you might love in Jesus' name, who you might serve in his name, who you might encourage. Living life in the ordinary, there will be mountaintops, there will be valleys of despair. We all have those, but much of your life will be lived on the levels, in the ordinary, seeming ordinary. But the Bible tells us God has chosen not the great, but what the world often sees as the foolish things, meaning those of us who live in the ordinary, day to day, finding that God is faithful and he will lead you to do extraordinary things in the ordinary.
Hey, Natasha. You don't really know me too well. I don't really know you too well. This comes from, very much blows on from what Phil was saying, but I got reminded of a book in the Bible where God isn't actually mentioned once in the book. Not actually mentioned once. Not a single verse in the book talks about God. It's the book of Esther. And in that book, it's about a woman who lives an ordinary life, but ends up doing some extraordinary things. But what I got for you was that it may have felt like that God hasn't been a chapter in your life until recently, but God has always been there. Just as God was there for Esther, God has been there for you too. And he'll be there tomorrow and he'll be there the next day. Every day is a God day, even if you don't feel it.
Natasha?
Gorgeous, I'm so grateful and proud of you to be your dad. Love you, sweet.
Thank you. Natasha? Hi. We go to the same home group together, so I've got to know this beautiful young lady. And you've shared some things with me and some things resonate with me from my own background. And the one thing I want to remind you of is that you have the great eternal Father that has watched over you from before even you were born, and he's with you every day. You are never alone. And you know, you may feel like you're an only child, but look around you here. Do you see all these people here? They're your sisters and brothers in Christ. And if you went to Australia and you went into a church there, all those men and women are your sisters and brothers in Christ. And that is an amazingly powerful thing when you grow up feeling very alone and sometimes very unwanted or unloved. You come in and you come into this worldwide family of beautiful believers, not perfect, broken, oh yes, sometimes annoying the heck out of you, but at the end of the day, still brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, bound by his precious blood. And one day, we're all going to be together in that beautiful home with our eternal Father and our wonderful Saviour. And so look at me as a spiritual mother, if you must, and these other ladies here, and I'm your sister, and I'm your aunt, and I'll be whatever you want or need me to be, and I'll pray for you along with all these others, and you are never alone, dear girl. We are with you always. Remember that. God bless you mightily for your decision today. And remember, your home group is also your very close whānau, and we're with you.
And Natasha, I don't know you, but I just want to say, confirm what was just said, that you'll never be alone, ever. Sorry, now I can't read it.
Is it that first?
This is from the NIV. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go.
And now we've got Hiram, our brother. Why are you getting baptized today, my brother?
Good morning, everyone. For those who don't know me, my name is Hiram Kahu Gray. Before I took my first breath, life was already throwing curveballs. My dad found out he was sick. My mum had a brain tumour, so it was decided by my parents that I be given to my nanny to raise me. By the power of prayer, my mum was healed and left all the doctors speechless, only for her life to be taken by someone she knew, protecting her friend. I lost my dad when I was 11 months old, and my mum when I was 14. Even though I didn't grow up in the arms of my parents, my nanny always made sure I grew up knowing I was loved by not only her, but more so God. He became more than just a figure in me, in my life, sorry. He became my lifeline. My nanny made sure that the foundation of faith was planted in my life, not knowing later on in my life when everything fell apart, I still had my faith. During my teenage years, I was in and out of juvenile centres across Aotearoa, each one more harder than the other. Violence wasn't just something I witnessed, it was something I learned to live, I met my best friend through rugby at intermediate. Before you knew it, we were out stealing cars, robbing shops, fighting, chasing girls, and yep, in juvenile again, each time losing a little piece of me, but I knew God still hadn't left me. At 16, I got introduced to meth and pulled into heavier crimes, aggravated robberies, and crimes along those lines. Until one day, when I was 17, I ended up in prison for 4 years for stabbing 3 people. When I was released, I dove back into same lifestyle, only deeper, gang scene, heating up, strip clubs, hotel parties, women, drugs, guns, and driving through Tauranga like I was invincible. Through all the darkness, every cell door, every fight, every tear, my whānau cried. Christ never gave up on me, not once. I ended up in a relationship with someone I thought I had a child with, someone who made me believe that the boy was my son. I loved and trusted with all my heart, but who was unfaithful, which led me to doing something I regret for the rest of my life. I attempted to take her life. She was caught in a storm of brokenness, and I take full responsibility for the pain I caused. I was sentenced to 7 years, 6 months, and to be honest, I deserved every day of it. After serving my full sentence, I moved here to Wellington. I came here hoping for change, and to heal from not growing up with my parents or siblings, who are all down here in Wellington. I thought this time I'm doing it right. I thought to myself this time I'm doing it right, but as most of you know, it's not that easy to walk away from the life you've known like a second skin. So yes, I slipped back on drugs, weapons, and old habits before I even realized. Then one night, as me and my wife, my now wife, slept, we woke up surrounded by gang members. Going through that ordeal, I felt God's presence, His righteousness, standing right there with me, saying, "Enough is enough." The moment didn't just pass, it planted a seed of change in me that I couldn't ignore anymore. The Lord has been in my life since birth, and has protected me all through my life. It's now my time to serve Him, and I live in His word, by His word. Thank you.
Father, we just thank you for what you have been doing, Father, and you've been doing this not just in the last little while. You've been at work constantly. I thank you for the testimony of all that you're doing. And so, Father, as you are, as Hiram is taking this step, Lord, it's I just can't help shake the feeling that you've been with him. He just hasn't been with you. And so just help him to understand what it means to be with you as he heads forward into a new life, a new way of functioning and living, learning to shake the old, which you have already dealt with, but learning to step into all that you have for him in Jesus' name. You know, Hiram, on the back of your shirt here, you've got a cross that says, "I'm forgiven." And that is just such an amazing truth that we all have to learn to step into. I've remembered the word reproach. Meg was reproached. The reproach of the past is gone. And I feel this is for you too, that the reproach of the past life, the reproach of all that is gone, has washed away. And as you step into a new life, it is not with an attempt to earn God's favor. It's not with an attempt to try and make God like you more or anything like that. No, it's he's actually washed it away. He has set you free. He has established you with a new foundation. He has set you on a new path. Your job is to submit humbly and to walk with him. That doesn't mean in a scaredy cat way. No, it's a confident, bold humility that has you know who he is, you know what he's capable of, you know the power of his presence and of his word. And I really believe, Hiram, that that God is going to use you powerfully when you walk in his ways, which are very, very different to how you've been, as you know.
Awesome, Hiram. It's just been an honour and a privilege to walk this so far alongside you and Whānau. My word for you is look ahead. There'll be plenty of people around that want to remind you of the Hiram they know. Joseph's brothers may have been like that. Joseph didn't look at his past as he is, as he was. He looked at what God had for him to do. Joseph had a rough start, ended up being locked up. God was able to use all that had happened to him to shape and mold him into the man that God had always designed him to be. You have been building you to this point. Now you've begun the journey of discovering the man that God wanted to build right from the beginning. The one that you have been building is gone, and the one that God wants to build is different. So look ahead. Look to God. Joseph was used to change the environment of his family and others around him and the environments they were in. God promises, as you look ahead and look to him, he will do the same for you.
God is good, my brother. Welcome home. New creation. When I read Haggai, it hit different. God said, "I will take you, my servant. I will make you like my signet ring, for I have chosen you." That is not just a verse, it's a word of your life, my brother. God saying, "I picked you. I pulled you out. I put my seal on you." Like a king's signet ring, he placed identity, authority, and favor on your life. That old life buried, my brother. Now you walk different. You think different. You're not who you used to be. You've been marked by heaven, and God's going to use your story, the mess, the pain, the comeback, as proof of his power. You ain't just saved. You're chosen, trusted, and commissioned. Keep walking in it, my brother. Even when it gets hard, remember, you wear his ring. You represent him, Yeshua. This is only the beginning. He's not done with you. He's just getting started. Saul, later known as Paul, was a fierce persecutor of early Christians before he had a dramatic encounter with our Lord and Savior Christ, my brother, and on the road to Damascus. Acts 9. After that, he was transformed and became one of the most powerful apostles of the faith. His name changed to Paul. as he began preaching mainly to the Gentiles, not Jews, spreading the message of Jesus across the Roman Empire. My brother, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Amen. Welcome home, my brother.
As a mother and a grandmother, I can attest to the faith of God. Mark is my son, and I gave Mark to God when he was born because he was premature and he was breech, and I had no idea whether he would survive or not. I gave him to God, which Mark did not like when he found out. And he went his own way for a long time. But God caught up with him. And you've got to know Mark now. And God is faithful. Yes. So bless you. I know it's not easy. I know the hard things I went through before I came to New Zealand. But God is faithful. And he'll be faithful for you. In the past, now you can put it behind you. You'll make new friends. And you will survive. Thank you.
Hi, brother. God is good. And all the time he's good. No matter what the trials and tribulations that you're facing on, just the sword of the Spirit. Put the hot sword of the Spirit, everything. Don't give up. Be strong. Just want to read this. On this day of baptism, may God look upon you with joy and bless abundantly. May the Holy Spirit always guide you and light your path in life. May the Lord's blessings be poured upon you as the waters of baptism are poured over your soul. May you always walk with Jesus and keep him close to your heart. And I just encourage you, God is always with you. No matter what, he will never, never let you down.
My brother, you're a good man. You're a strange man. You've been through things. When I first met you, the first day you came to this church, God gave me a message. And he said, seal your lips until this day. God, the message God gave me for you today, when you went down in that water, that spirit of rage and hate and bitterness, he takes it off you. And just as Jesus came out of the water, the spirit of peace is upon your heart and your mind now. No longer do you have that burning hate and rage within you. The good things that your grandmother put into you are coming to the fore. You've got a brother there that knows what it's like to walk. You both are kindred spirits. The rage that's gone from you, the rage that's gone from you has no place in your heart, no place in your family, no place in your mind. You are true Son of God, and let the peace of God stay upon you. And as you rise out of that water, have it be known that you're a free man, you're born again, and the pressure of God upon you is like a gentle dove. And the words that have already been spoken, leadership is earned sometimes because we've got to fall over and bleed. You'll meet people that will need your gentleness. And they'll say to you, what will you know what it's like, what you've been through? Not the pain, not the agony, not that burning rage, no more. But you can tell them the truth. What I was is no longer here. I stand before you as forgiven, washed clean, that burning rage was washed out of you and God came upon you. And as you come out, have it be known, the Spirit of God has already descended upon you. My brother, welcome to my family.
I say? I felt quite strongly that God said to me today that he created you to be a soldier. He made you physically strong, but he also balanced that with a big heart and a very generous heart and a strong faith. You fought battles in your life, but they weren't for God. You know what it is to fight. You know what it is to be in the battle. But as of today, God said you're a soldier of the living God. Your battles will no longer be physical like they were. They will be spiritual. He's going to grow you with the weapons of your faith, with the word, his word, to fight those battles spiritually. So he's going to grow. You already know what it is to fight, but you're going to fight his way. He's now your Lord and Commander. He's now in charge. And he's who you submit to fight his battle his way. You did it wrong before, but now you get a chance to do it right, as everyone has said. And the other thing I felt him say quite strongly is to read Psalms 23 out to you for today. So it says, the Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord.
My brother this morning, last night, sorry, and what came to mind pretty much just now, the truth will set you free, amen?
Amen.
The brother found the truth, that's why he's here. That's all I got to say, my friend, my brother, in Christ, the truth will set you free, but I think you knew the truth for some time, it just had to come in and out until you're here today, burying the old man, coming up in the new man. Bless you, my brother.
Hey, Bo. I'd just like to say congratulations on your baptism. May this sacred day bring you joy, peace, and blessing into your life. Amen.
Brother, you know I love you, my bro. Love conquers all. And it's because that love that was planted in you, bro, you know, the word of God, it is an incorruptible seed that never perishes, and it's always in there. It just needs a bit of water. Sometimes it needs a bit of fire for the seed to germinate. But I see it in you, bro. I see you. I see you, my brother. And today's a new day, bro. In Christ, old things are passed away. All things have become new. The Father, he knew you. Before you were born, he formed you and he shaped you. He knew the beginning. He knows the beginning. He knows the end. He has plans for you. Plans for you to prosper, brother. Be ready. In season and out of season. Be ready always. Instant in prayer. You know you got a testimony. You know you can reach those brothers out there that don't know. They don't know the way. You've been both ways, bro. You can reach them. And God's going to use you. He's going to use you. And be ready always to give an answer of the hope of salvation that is in you. With gentleness and with respect. I love you, my brother.
Hiram, I've got two different, quite different words for you. One is that God is going to build you into the father that you never had. Okay. He's going to do a complete work in you so that you can be a good dad. And that you can give to your kids what you didn't have as a kid. The other word I've got is to remember, with all these words that have been said today, Jesus was a carpenter too. Jesus was a carpenter too. So he had to deal with the work sites and all that rubbish that happens. But he also knew the higher purpose. So when things get tough, you can say to yourself, Jesus was a carpenter too. And just know, as simple as that, that it's that. But most of all, you are going to be built into the dad, into the daddy you never had.
Hi, Aaron. I don't know you, but I'm a member of this church. And I sat there and I was saying, and look, basically it brought tears to my eyes, you know, what you've gone through. But God is so good that he's taken you out of that situation. And he's put you into a situation where you're going to do good, man. You're going to be good. And God is going to go with you each step of the way. And I'd like to read a Psalm 121 to you. I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He watches over you, will not slumber. Indeed, he watches over Israel, will never slumber or sleep. Sorry, my teeth. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day and the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forever. Go forward, man. Go forward and believe that he's going to be with you every step of the way, because he will, mate.
Now we have Tawhai, Hiram's beautiful wife. She's going to come up and be baptised today. We can do it here if you like.
Kia ora, everyone. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Tawhai Gray. And this is a little bit about me and why I've chosen to walk with our Lord. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. In fact, for most of my childhood, my house was a gang headquarters. My bedroom was the entertainment stage of the Filthy Few gang, gang pad, a gang my father was a part of and had a well-known and bad reputation for. From a young age, I was surrounded by drugs, guns, alcohol, and violence at home, which obviously came with a lot of brokenness. That became my normal. I struggled with alcoholism and drug addiction early on, which led me to teenage pregnancy. Life felt heavy, chaotic, and hopeless. Even in all that, deep down, I always believed God was real. I just didn't know how to get close to him or if he even wanted someone like me. Things started to change when I met my now husband. Through him, even though he was in prison, I was introduced to church, and there I saw something different to what I had grown up in, something peaceful, steady, and full of love. After a while, though, I backslid, and backslid hard, which resulted in getting hooked on harder drugs, meth. When my husband came home from prison, we went through ordeals no couples should survive. We ended up in the pit of the world, on drugs, no children because I gave them up, and we often found ourselves in situations where we weren't meant to walk out of. While living through all of this, I saw miracles happen that has no explanation. That's when I began to truly open my heart to God. I realised he'd been there all along, waiting for me to come home. Since acknowledging Christ, everything has changed. I've been set free from all addictions. I have been reunited with my children and blessed with two more. I've experienced healing, not just that of my own, but also witnessed to my husband and his family mending their relationships. And I found a deep, unshakable joy. I'm happier than I've ever been, and I see blessings showing up in my life that I never imagined possible. I choose to give my all to our Saviour today because I know without a doubt that God is real. He's carried me through things I never thought I'd survive. He's not just a belief to me. He's my Father, my healer, and my hope, and it's my turn to serve our Lord now. Thank you.
Father, thank you for your work. Father, the testimony of Tafai that we've heard of how you love us. Father, that you do all of these things for us. It's just so amazing to hear of your great love and your power to change and to protect and to keep and to draw us towards you. Father, just thank you that you are going to be with Tafai, that you'll promise to never leave her. And Lord, I look forward to the testimony of more testimony of an increase in influence and shaping other people as Tafai grows to know you and to live for you in Jesus' name. Yeah, Tafai, you just, you know, there's something as I've looked at you right from when we were talking about marriage and all that, there's something about you I haven't quite put my finger on, but you're just such an amazing support, mum, wife, you know, and I can just see there's a real strength and a power, and a good helper for Hiram, a helper that's strong, that needs to be, and to help keep him in line, no, to support together. And you guys have been through a lot, but my goodness, you've got an amazing journey ahead of you. And so I just want to encourage you to keep each other on the path. You know, you lean into each other, say the hard words when they're needed, but rejoice in the moments when you have, you know, go out together, put aside the busyness of family and just rejoice in each other and what God is doing in and through the two of you on this journey. Okay.
Awesome. Tafai, Eve was not second to Adam. She was not less than him in any way. Your life is one where you would have been told to be quiet, not allowed to speak, not allowed to say anything. Well, it's even true. Some churches say that about women too, and that is not right. That is not. Between the two of you, you are the perfect image of God. The two of you together are his image. God is going to use your voice as a woman, and with what you've been through, the experiences that you've had, because there are so many broken young ladies in our country that are experiencing what you've been through. And see, you just won't be someone that comes in and has knowledge. You have experience, and you can empathize with those girls. They will see authenticity in you. And that's going to make all the difference. So when you share about Jesus and all that he's done in the lives of you and your family, you're going to be able to minister to girls and women in Jesus' name that no one else is going to be able to connect with. God is going to use you.
Pākehā, I just want to say you've taken this big step. As you went through the waters, you came out as a brand new woman and a brand new creation. May the Lord bless you, acknowledge him in all his ways.
Tafai, you were given your name for a reason. Your name stands for one of those what in English is called the silver beech tree in the forest, but it's tall. It is a tree that doesn't have a lot of branches. It comes out. It knows. It's true. It's pono. You know. It knows where it's grounded. It knows where it wants to go. It's strong. It's also tika. It also understands what to be truthful is about. You are a visionary because really that tree grows higher than many other trees, and it can see above the forest. This is why you both are on this journey together, because someone's got to have some sight. At times he might say, I'm going to go out there, and you're going to say, no, not today. Today is about this. You're going to be able to have insight into young women's lives. You're going to be able to see them for who they are now, but because you are tawhai, because you are the tall tree, you're going to see where those girls can go to with a bit of love. You are a game changer. You are a rule breaker. But you are tawhai, the tall visionary tree.
Hey, my sister. bit of a journey for all of us. I'm glad that you're here anyway. You got a beautiful community, a beautiful family of the Lord. That's awesome to witness, just like mine up home. I just want to take the moment to give thanks and show love to you, my new sister in Christ. I see the light of God shining through you, and I'm truly grateful how you have helped guide our brother back towards our Lord and Savior. It really means a lot. Your prayers, your patience, your obedience, it's been more than just support. It's been a true move of God. Galatians 6:1 says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. You've done just that, and I believe heaven rejoices. And I hold on to Philippians 1:6, which says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. What God has started in you and in our brother, he will finish. His hand is on this. I just want to thank you for being a true sister in Christ, one who walks in love and in truth. God bless you, and may he continue to strengthen you as you lead others to him. Like our sister was saying, your testimony, both of you, my family. And I'm going to brag about this to my church up in Te Puke Tauranga, because it's awesome to see the dramatic sovereign change that he has done on your fellow's lives.
Is there any... I don't want to butt in. Tafai, there's a verse in the Bible that says God places the lonely or the solitary person in families. And today, you know, we are your family. But sometimes a woman has to be the person who calls the ambulance. In my life, I think 3 times my wife has called an ambulance when I've said, I'm okay. And I really believe this is God's word for you. Be that one, that strength in your relationship. I sense that it's already a strong relationship. But be the one who will call the ambulance, who will say when something's not right, even so small, that you'll blow the whistle. You'll call that, you know, and call your husband to others who can stand with him in his times of needs. Call for your own life. Be quick to call on the body of Christ for your friends and your family.
My dear friend, all that keeps on coming to my mind when you were talking is, out of the ashes, hope will arise. And it has, hasn't it? Because you say that deep down you knew that God was there. But don't forget that even before your mom knew she was having you, that God was there already. He saw you grow there and he had a plan. And even though we don't always understand that, he does. And God has been there all the time, and he's kept both of you safe. And I was so delighted when you got married to hear your husband say he heard God saying that things had to be made right. And you agreed. And so we were able to celebrate with you in that beautiful time. Now we are celebrating with this, but we want to keep on celebrating day by day, because you are family. Don't forget. Love you.
Hey, wonderful. It's been an amazing amazing time. And Mark's saying if anyone else is here wants to be baptized, what do you reckon? It's beautiful. It's actually more tolerable now than it was when we started. It was very warm. But anyway, all good. Hey, thank you so much. And all I want to say is welcome to the family. And it's not just us here, it's a family across 2,000 years, and it's the family that will be forever, and we get to celebrate together with all of us. We've come from different backgrounds and stories and that, but in Christ we're all loved and we're all part of this together. Isn't it wonderful? Hey, look, we're going to finish with a final song, and then lunch, we'll make it quick because our lunch is ready to go. The team out there are kind of, I can see them itching to get it happening. But let's just praise the Lord for one more time while we get dried and changed, and then enjoy celebrating lunch together.
The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.
Amen.
Lord bless you. Face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you.